Hey guys, thank you for tuning in to episode 92 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Today is January the 14th. It is, here in the States, it is Martin Luther King Jr. We have an extended weekend for that because the holiday is tomorrow. So we have a nice relaxing weekend. I really actually love that that falls so soon after the holidays because you get back to work and then...
Get another day off.
And then we have, at least at our work, we have a big, long stretch of no vacation time or no holiday time.
Memorial Day.
Sorry it's been so long since we recorded. It's just, you know, the holidays. It's been really hard to find time to do it. I actually had recorded an episode back, I think it was that right before Christmas?
Somewhere around
the holidays. And honestly, it just wasn't as fun to record by myself anymore. And I actually recorded it and I uploaded it, but I never actually posted it. So this is a redo for me of episode 92. By the way, if you are a new listener, I am Summer. You can find me on Ravelry and most of the interwebs as Summer Yarns, which is SommerYarns. And I'm here with Katie.
I'm Katie B, or I'm Katie, and I go by Katie B, KAYTEEBE, on Ravelry, Katie B, KT on Instagram, and if you go to my Ravelry profile, you can see the links to, Instagram and Twitter and, Goodreads.
And same for me, you can see it all on my Ravelry profile. The website is kitchenstitches.com. We usually post show notes that are fairly thorough. I don't always, depends on how much time, you know, what the time crunch is and you know, if I have time to get them up before I want to publish, but we keep them pretty well before we record. So it's just a matter of going in and linking stuff, but I try to get those up. And you can also find our Ravelry group, which is Kitchen Stitches. It's just Kitchen Stitches, maybe Kitchen Stitches podcast. Either way.
We have a group.
Yeah. If you search Kitchen Stitches, you're going to find it. That is linked off of the, Anyway, because it has been such a long time since we recorded, this will probably be a fairly lengthy episode. I vastly outweigh Katie in the knitting, currently knitting content anyway. But yeah, it's settle in for a long one. I am going to do an in the kitchen segment. We're going to do all of our normal segments, but I'm going to do in the kitchen at the end just in case no one wants to stick around for that. So we'll do knitting content, then we'll do non-knitting content, which is usually reading and watching, and then some in the kitchen stuff. And I have, you know, I actually have been in the kitchen quite a bit lately, so that I actually have substance in there. But most of you are probably here for the knitting, so let's get started with that. Katie, do you want to start or do you want me to start? I have a ton, so.
I can start. Hold on just a second. Let me go to my notes. So, FOs? Okay. I only have... Oh, that's in the other room. Oh, well. I have two FOs. I finished my Winter Butterflies, which is a hat by Jenny F., who goes by Sweater Freak on Instagram and Ravelry. She's a designer. She designs a lot of shawls and hats and I think sweaters and stuff like that. And so she was running a promotion with someone else that if you join the group and follow their podcast and posted in the group and all these, you know, criteria, they would give you a free pattern, and it was a big knit along. So, I really like the one hat, Winter Butterflies, which is a cabled hat. I used Plucky Knitter Primo Worsted in a One Hit Wonder, which are her, you know, experimental colors or colors that didn't quite turn out how she wanted it, or short skein or something like that. It was in a brownish gray. Gray-brown. it knit up really, really quickly. The pattern's written for DK, but other people had used a worsted, and Primo worsted's a light worsted. So I knit that. I'm debating if I want to keep that or give that to a friend. And then I also finished my Free Your Fade by Andrea Mowry. She updated the pattern to include DK weight. So I had a handful of DKs that worked together. So I used a DK from Twist Fiber Studio. I'd have to go around right. All those notes are in my project page. So my tone for my Free Your Fade is like a shallow scarf that fades, and then you have like a picot bind off. So I used a DK from Twist Fiber Studio in a teal with little blips of like a black or a brown. And then I faded that into a variegated speckled by Black Cat Fibers. That color was called Murder on Monday? Mm-hmm. Or Sleeping with the Fishes. I think it's Murder on Monday. It's really pretty. So it's got more or less kind of the same tealy blue that was in the Twist Fiber Studio. And then it has some pops of brown. In the dark.
Reminds me a lot of a Western Sky Knits color that I've used before.
Some greens a little bit. The blues go into greens. And then the final color is Rockin' String Creations DK in Rusty Nail, which is a darker medium gray with the rusty brown and some black pops. So,
let me see that. I've looked at that colorway before. I like that a lot.
I have that on a finger and base of hers too. They all fit really nicely together, and I really like it. I do kind of think want to block it just to see if it'll soften up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I knit it on a 5. I probably should have. The Rock and String was a lot thicker of a DK. So,
they just work really, really well together.
They do. I really like it. So I think I want to block it just a little bit to just soften it up a little bit. Might try and do that today so it can, I can wear it while we still have a cold snap. So those are the only two EPOs I have.
Guys, it has been cold. We talk all the time about how hot it is in Houston. It snowed before Christmas.
We might get
early
again.
December. Yeah. Early December. Snowed and stuck long enough for me to take pretty pictures in the morning downtown, but not bad enough for the roads to be bad. So it was the best of both worlds. We've had a couple of warmer days since then, but it's been pretty chilly. It got down below freezing for several, we had a hard freeze around New Year's. We're supposed to have another freeze this week, possibly some more. At least wintry precipitation later this week. It's been kind of crazy around here.
Yeah. Texas winter lasts about 3 weeks.
Except it's gone a little longer this year, but yes.
Well, it's spreading out. It's a week here and then 70s and then a week of freezing and then we're up to 80s.
Okay. Let's see. My finished objects. Sorry, I'm digging around in a bag. Forgot to organize beforehand, so I'll just grab. Okay, so the first one is the Samothrace Wings. I think that's how you say it. I'm sure in Greek it's like Samothrake or something like that, but I found Google pronunciations and they all say Samothrace, so it's the English version. It's a pattern by Susan Ashcroft. I did this in hand-spun that I spun by Jinx Yarn. It's Masham, which is a long wool. And I think it was either pumpkin or pumpkin spice colorway. I think it's just pumpkin. And it's basically a scarf. It's a very shallow, scalloped kind of design. You use short rows. And it was a really, it was very potato chippy because each little wedge is about, I think there are about 5 rows of garter, and then you do this little short row section, and that was
so
it.
It's so it's not horrible on short rows either.
No, and it was in this garter, but so it's really forgiving. You don't have to do the, you don't have to pick up your wraps right, or anything yeah. like that. And I actually haven't worn it, but Masham can be kind of wiry, but this turned out, it's nice and rustic, but it's soft.
You blocked it?
Yeah. Yeah. So, that was the first one.
Have you ever tried, like, conditioner?
I've thought about it, and I might for... I
not necessarily do. Hair conditioner, but, like, I have some unicorn fiber mm-hmm. stuff that's a conditioner. I haven't tried it yet.
I haven't tried it either. It might be nice on this. This does feel soft, but it would be interesting to see if it would soften it up a little bit
more.
So
that may just depend on the fiber too.
And it's definitely, I wouldn't want to wear it probably next to my skin all day, but for wrapping up for the amount of time we have to, it would probably be okay.
Yeah.
I've got hand spun in here too.
That's pretty.
Then next in my grab bag.
You finished it, yay!
Yes, is my color study. This is by Carolee Harding. I started this
2015.
August 2016. It was before, was that right? Yeah, that's when we went into 2016.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I started it as part of one of the knit-alongs for the Into the Wool retreat, and I did not finish it.
Yeah, okay.
But this is a two-color shawl. I used daisy knits. I have it written down. Yeah. Daisy knits, and I think it was Hardy 2.0 was her base. I'm not sure it's a base she's using anymore. It was a fingering base. In the Wicked Cool colorway, which was greens and purples, basically, and then in blues, and then Sweet Georgia Tough Love Sock, and it was a berry something. I couldn't find it when I was making my show notes. Actually, it was really interesting. The purple in at least one of that's a it was a tonal purple, and the purple in that. Did exactly match the purple in the Wicked Cool at some point. I do really like this. I think the shawl will work better with a higher contrast because you can't, so it alternates, like once it's garter, so it's like a row of garter and then two rows of stockinette. And it flips on the vertical line.
On the other side of the spine.
On each side of the spine. So the stockinette portion on one side is the Wicked Cool, and then on the other side it's the berry whatever. And it kind of gives this an interesting illusion because you've got the garter pops out, but you just can't really see it that well. It's pretty, but the illusion isn't just like
I see what you're saying. I mean, it's the illusion, you can't. Yeah.
And then the bottom of it, the last little, like maybe not even a quarter, eighth of the shawl, you have a larger stockinette portion, so you can see that a little bit more down at the bottom. But it's a really nice, really nice wrap size. I like it. Don't know if I'll wear it. May go in a gift box. And it was fun to knit. Fun to finally finish. Okay. Pile that one over. Then I have the Thursday Morning Cowl, which this was actually my New Year's Day cast on, and I finished it within a week. And this was a pattern by Alicia Plummer, and I used Malabrigo Rios in the Nimbus Gray, which is a really nice gray. It's a dark gray with kind of brown overtones, even a little pinky in places, purpley. And it's got two different patterns. It's got two cable portions that are nice big, nice big cables, and then a large kind of not quite seed stitch panels. It's like it's ribbing, but there's a row of what is it?
Like broken ribbing?
Yeah.
I don't know the
basically
correct
it's,
terms. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I forgot there was a word she called something. I forgot what what she called it. Nub. It was like a nub stitch. So basically it's ribbing, but then every like four rows or so, you purl where the ribbing is. So you've got, it makes a nice little texture and it's nice and big. It's pretty cozy. I think I've decided I like either really long cowls that you can double up or just let hang, or the really snug ones. This size, it's pretty, but it's not functional to me. But it is, this one I'll keep. I've already worn it, so.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was a really fun knit. I liked doing the cables, and it was a really easy pattern. I didn't have to have the pattern. So that was good. And then my last knitted item is the Paralucia shawl, which is another long-term project that I finally finished. This is Very Busy Monkey, and the yarn is Plymouth Happy. It's like Happy Feet, but it was bare, and I dyed it, and the color was spruce. I think it was jacquard dyes. And I love her patterns because when you block them, they just become magical. So it has this kind of butterfly design. Well, at least that's what it's supposed to be. It's like almost like a fleur-de-lis or something. It's a really neat pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And a picot edging. I didn't block out all of the little points, but I just kind of floofed them out a little bit. But I did block it yesterday. And I mean, it's been cold, but it wasn't so cold that I couldn't stick it outside and have it dry in a couple hours. But it just, you know, working on it, you can see the pattern, but when you block it out, it just pops. And this is also a nice size one, and I'll keep this one. I like this a lot. And then my other finished objects are spinning. So the first one I have here is Spunky Eclectic Polworth in the Tacos colorway. I've got 318 yards. It's like a DK. And it's got kind of reddish and like avocado green and some yellows.
Some blue.
It's got some blue in, which I'm not quite sure with the taco colorway why you would have blue, but it works. And it was really interesting because this was, you know, it was the roving was, or the braid was dyed in sections. So you had a red section and a green section. And I didn't really get the taco effect, but when I look at this, I can kind of see tacos. Kind of, it has like a terracotta look, and right. Something about it, I just like, it just makes, like, I can smell tacos. It's
like if you're going to Chewy's, that's kind of the color of the decor.
So it's really, it was really interesting to spin. And this was given, I have one, and then I have like a little, I had a lot left over on the bobbin when I finished, so I have a second mini skein full of that. I think he has 318 yards and then 66 yards of the mini. This fiber was gifted to me by Monday Bread, who is Judy, and when she sent it home with my husband. It was very much appreciated and was a really fun spin. And then I have Elemental Fiber Works. The colorway was Trappist 1E. Which is, again, this was a club based on the Visions of Space.
NASA postcards.
NASA, yeah, postcards or posters.
Posters, yeah.
Yeah. And this is Oatmeal BFL and Silk. And it's a red and blue colorway, basically. Like a dark, almost winey with the combination, I think. Like a navy blue and mm-hmm. like a darker red. And that turned out really nice. I think I got 376 yards on this one. So again, it could be a fingering. It's a, like a heavy fingering. Maybe sport, but it's closer to fingering. And then finally, another Elemental Fiber Works. This is Polworth Silk, and it is HD 40307G. It's about 562 yards. Definitely a fingering. And it's yellows, blues, and greens, kind of a cornflower blue, kind of, and a, like a limey green, and just a sunshiny yellow. And these will make nice socks. Finally, that is all of my finished objects. So let's see.
You didn't ply the one that's on your wheel yet?
No, I started plying it yesterday, but I haven't gotten very far. I had hoped she'd get it done this weekend, but I don't know that it'll happen.
It's got a day and a half.
Yeah, it depends on how much I want to spend on that. Works in progress. Do you want? Give me a verbal break.
Sure. Let's see. We recorded what? The weekend of Thanksgiving or right before Thanksgiving?
Before Thanksgiving.
So long ago.
I know.
So at that point, I had finished one or two big projects, so I was ready to cast on a couple things. So I cast on an 800 yard dash, which is a triangle shaped shawl by Knitterella. So it's three colors. The top section is stockinette with little peaks of garter or pearl stitches, raised pearl stitches, so it's kind of textured. And then you stripe the bottom third of the shawl. I'm only, 15 rows in. but I'm using, it was a kit sold by Plucky Knitter in conjunction with Knitterella, who is Jill Zielinski. I originally bought the kit in Scholar, which is a worsted weight woolen spun yarn, but I didn't want to make another big heavy worsted weight shawl, so I had enough yarn in my stash to do a fingering version in the same colorways. So I'm using oatmeal, which is an oatmeal, very light, neutral, cream tan color. Wonderlust, which is a dark gray, and then Small Batch 28, which is a variegated speckled, the really bright pink, and a whole bunch of other colors in there. The main color is the oatmeal, and then you stripe the other colors at the bottom. I started a compass shawl. I think that was my birthday weekend. I'm using Plucky, that's by Shannon Cook. It's a textured shawl, again, another triangle shawl. I'm using Plucky Knitter Groovy, which is cashmere, worsted Aran weight cashmere, in As You Wish, which is a pretty, not a baby blue, but like, a blue gray, and then Medieval, which is a darker gray. Is that what's? Let's see. So that's the As You Wish. So it's.
Oh, that's so soft.
Yeah. But again, it takes brain power, and I just
similar to this group actually.
Yeah. So, not very far on that. And then I, so at Christmas, we went to Wisconsin. I took a couple projects. I just wanted something easy. I started a tread hat, which is also by Shannon Cook. It's a simple, it's got some twisted stitches and just, knit and purl ridges. I'm using Round Table Yarns in her Lancelot base, which is a worsted base. It's a superwash base. In a purpley red color called Ambrosius. And I'm probably in the third to halfway through that. That's at work. I started Quill, which is another hat by Andrea Mowry. So it's reversible.
Cute.
So it's kind of got like chevrons, textured sections on it, but it's reversible. I'm using Plucky Knitter Snug Worsted, which is a merino. I'm using seen Snug Worsted in a one-hit wonder. What's this, a blue-gray, purpley-blue show. I think that'll be really pretty. And maybe two repeats through that. We better not drop any stitches. And then I had seen Tania had made a bankhead hat. And that looked like a really easy pattern. I needed something for work, so I also have that at work. So I'm making a bankhead hat, which is a free pattern by Susie Gourlay. I'm using Malabrigo worsted. I just picked something that I had wound up, which is Hummingbird, which is like a limey green and then dark purple and blues. So it's a variegated, but it's a free pattern, and I just needed something to work on at work. So that's what I've got cast on in the last 6 weeks. I really honestly haven't done a ton of knitting because my hands have been hurting, or I just don't have the brain space to focus. So that's what I got.
I have been actually, ever since, probably since I finished The Starting Point, I've been fairly monogamous. I got through all of those long-term projects because I just chose one and then worked on it until I finished it. And I've kind of kept up that momentum. I have 4 different projects, bigger projects on the needles, but I'm choosing one of them a week to work on. So I've been, I'm actually making significant progress every week on them, which is a concept. And I do, so first I've got my Payday socks. And these are actually, this is my work project. I brought them home because I am, I've been working on dishcloths at work. I'll skip to that. I don't know that I will ever actually do it, but I'm kind of trying to build an inventory in case I wanted to do like some little craft shows or something like that, just to bring in a little bit of extra money. And it's one of those things I think I mentioned either on the last podcast or maybe one before that, we had a friend who was they had a little craft show at my husband's school, and he had asked me last minute if I had enough stuff to sell, and I didn't. So I decided I wanted to build an inventory in case opportunities like that come up, or if I decided to, just try to sell some stuff. So my plan is to work, basically choose a type of project per month, and then that'll be my work project, and I'll see how many of them I can get. And I knocked out, I think, three or four washcloths this week. Or not, like, one of them was like a probably like 8x8, and then I made the next one a little bit smaller, square, and I made one little spiral scalloped round one, and I may have completely finished another little square. I might not have finished that one, but I'm almost done with that one. And I'm using the Red Heart Scrubby cotton for those. And then I have another of the Red Heart Scrubby that is that. It looks like fun fur, but scratchy fun fur that I'll use to make something else with that. And I'm seeing how much I can make out of each one. But before that, at work, I was working on the Payday socks, which is a pattern by Leah Oakley, and I'm using Unwind Yarn Company in the Lake Frances Sunrise. And I am at the heel on the second sock, or no, I'm 2 rows shy of being at the heel on the second sock. But the finished the first one. I just really like this pattern. It's got it. There are several patterns that have a similar design. It's got just like the running slip stitch stripes down it, and this one you do it, it goes all the way around, and then there's an eye of partridge heel, and actually did just a normal, I mean, I did an eye of partridge, but it's a flapping gusset, which I haven't done many of recently, and I really like the way it fit. Oh, the other thing about this one, she has this, you do this arch, this special, I don't know what you call it, you do this slip stitch section for 2 about 2 inches on the bottom of the foot, right past the heel, so it like fits really snugly and felt really, really nice when I tried this on. So I may actually start doing that on the bottom of all of my socks. I liked that a lot. It's going pretty quickly. Right now it's kind of my purse knitting. Hopefully, I mean, maybe I'll get through the heel this week and I don't know. Next, this is what I've been working on this week. This is the Quaker Lines by Susan Ashcroft, and this is in my hand spun. It's Three Waters Farm Rambleway in the Birds and the Holly colorway. And I have not done any of the Free Your Fade or Find Fade or any of these, but my understanding, maybe not Free Your Fade. I think it starts out like the Find Your Fade does. It has, because you start off looking like you're knitting a thong, basically. But it has, I don't know. You've got this center spine and then these a stockinette section and garter ridges. No, they're not even garter. They're pearl ridges, evenly spaced. And then when you get to about a third of the way through your yarn, you stop decreasing on one side and continue you stop increasing on one side and you keep increasing on the other, and you've got the center, the center spine is a center double decrease, so you're actually you're decreasing by one every few rows on one side and increasing, so you end up with this asymmetric shape. And I'm really happy with it. I wasn't, when I first started, there was a lot of really dark colors kind of jumbled together, and I wasn't sure how I was going to like it, but it's lightened up. There's this really, really nice section of turquoise that I really, really like, and a really nice section of red. I'm one repeat past the one third mark, so I don't know if that's I guess it's not home stretch when I still have 2/3 of a bottle or a ball left, but it seems to be going pretty quickly. This one will go in hibernation for a few weeks. And then I've got, this one is, what is this? The Geology Shawl. It's another very busy monkey pattern. And this is Ann Malabrigo's sock in the lettuce colorway. This has tried to be at least one other thing, and it needed to be a tonal, and I was shopping my stash and had a few different options and asked my husband which one, and this is the one he said it should be. But like I said, it's another very busy monkey pattern, so hers tend to be either, they are fairly intricate but usually fairly straightforward patterns, or at least the ones I've done. They're heavily charted. I don't remember if they have, I think they have the written out instructions as well as the charts. I'm a chart girl. I am already, after I worked on this for a week, this was I did a winter solstice cast on, that was Quaker Lines. Then I did a Christmas Eve and a Christmas Day and a New Year's Day. And this one was my Christmas Day cast on, I believe. And in that week, I got, I think I'm on the fourth section out of 5 or 6. So I got quite a bit done. Of course, it grows, but you have a stockinette section and a garter section, a lace section, and then this one, you can't really see it, but I'm sure you'll see it a lot better when it blocks out kind of this, it's called an escalator section, but it's like, kind of reminds me of a maze. You've got these alternating pearl and ribbing type sections, and I don't remember what. I think there's another lace section, and it's not like a starburst or something like that. But that was, it was fairly potato chippy. And then the last thing I have is the Argent, which is from Hunter Hammerson's Curls book. I'm doing this in Cascade Heritage sock, and I think it's the Royal Blue colorway. I've had this. This is probably some of my oldest stash. I bought this for a knit along with the Knittables podcast, which she's not been recording for a long time. This was probably 2012. Could have even been 2011. I'm not sure. But it was originally going to be A Thin Ice by Laura Linneman. And I put it aside, and there was a lot of mesh and stuff, and I got off on the pattern, and it sat for a long time. And sometime within the past year, I had a frog fest, and it was one of the ones that I frogged. But I had forgotten how pretty this yarn is. Just such a, it's like this really vibrant blue.
See, I call it purple.
I can, it definitely, it's definitely like a hint of a blueberry. It's a purpley blue. I mean, yeah. It may be the light.
That's true too.
But,
well, yeah, it's that, yeah. It's like a royal blue versus a,
like a purple. Yeah. It could go either like way. Now that you mentioned that, like holding it up to the blue on this placemat, it's definitely more purpley than blue, but I think the color.
Depending on what you're comparing it against. Yeah.
But, this is the fourth pattern in the Curls book. I decided, gosh, it's been, I think it was 2014 when this book came out, and I had decided I was going to work my way through it. I'm on the fourth of the, I don't know how many. They can be a little tricky starting off the Curls. A couple of them were super tricky. This one is really, really easy. This was my Christmas Eve cast on. I think I cast on Christmas Eve, and I don't think I've worked on it again. This is the one I'll be working on this week, I believe. Yeah. And this pattern is super easy. And I think, hopefully it'll go quickly. We'll see. I have this, is that all? Yeah, just this. I think I actually may have another ball of this too. So we'll see if I need it. I'll probably be bored with it by the time I get to it. But the problem I've had with the Curls they've been too short. And if it looks like it's going to be too short, I'll add more. If not, I'll finish after a ball.
Are they supposed to be one skein projects, or
not necessarily? Oh, okay. I think I can. I have one that's perfectly fine as one skein.
You had that one that turned out really small.
Too short. Yeah. I think it depends on the yarn you're using, and probably the pattern. And then spinning, I am mostly done with. We talked about it a minute ago. I'm working on some Heavenly Fibers Targi, and it didn't have a colorway name, but it's really pretty jewel tone purples and blues. And if you check out my Instagram, there are lots of pictures of it, because I've been doing the spin 15 a day challenge, and it's been pretty boring because every day it looks exactly the same, because it's kind of the same, but it is really, it is really, really, really pretty jewel tones. And I just started applying that yesterday. And that's going to be, it'll probably end up being a nice DK weight. That is all of my works in progress that I can think of. Casting on soon. I'll go ahead and finish. Only have one thing. And I tend to get into these routines. Like, I want a very busy monkey pattern on the needles. I want a hand spun. I have a curl. I mean, I don't know that that's necessarily a thing, but I also like, this past year or recently, I was trying to get through, or I had decided I was going to work on patterns that had been gifted to me. So the Thursday morning had been the geology shawl. Is one that had been gifted to me, or it was either gifted to me, or I won it in Heidi Undead Yarns group. I can't remember. It came from Heidi one way or the other. And last year I also bought three, basically. They weren't kits, but I kitted them up for my birthday. I used birthday money to buy yarn for the Thursday morning cowl and something else that I've already knitted. I can't remember what it was now. Oh. It was the cowl I made over the summer out of Mrs. Crosby. I can't remember what it was called. but there's another pattern. And then I still have one more kit, and it's the, I can never ever remember the name of this pattern. It's a Melanie Berg pattern, and I can never remember what it's called. But it uses, I'm going to have to use size 4 needles, and I've got my size 4 needles are spoken for right now. So I looked through my gifted patterns to see what I had, and I think I'm going to cast on, probably next week, a Constellate hat, which is also by Hunter Hammerson. In, it's either Stargazer or Stargazing by Kim Marie's Knickknacks. She's a local-ish to us dyer, and I bought this with my husband in mind because he is a stargazer. And it's a little of the colors. I asked him if he wanted it after I bought it, and he did want it. So it's going to be a hat. I'm going to have to ask him if he wants the Constellate hat because it looks a little feminine. But looking through the patterns, I did see men wearing it occasionally. So I'm going to have to ask his opinion. So that's the plan. That could change. I don't have any other plans to cast on anything else right now. What about you?
Well, I have yarn picked out for at least one more free or fade. Miss Babs always has a sale at Christmas, and so I picked out 4 skeins of her DK. I've actually never tried her DK. Mm-hmm. And I'll talk about this in acquisitions. So I picked out, made my own little gradient, grade of purple, and then I got some more yarn from Black Cat Fibers. I'm not usually a red person, but this looked really pretty. Mm. Kind of maybe almost pink even.
Yeah.
So I was thinking of maybe doing a fingering version of Free Your Fade. Mm-hmm. I really want to do a Find Your Fade, but I don't want to do all those lace sections or the double decrease in the center.
Yeah, I don't think it's too big. After doing the starting point, which I've completely finished and blocked, I have no idea how to even wear that thing. It's like considerably taller than I am.
Right. Well, this is the perfect for if I actually wanted to wear it in the office. I'm not gonna melt to death. Mm-hmm. Where if I try to wear my like Second Avenue shawl or something like that, that's like a big blanket. Granted, it's fingering. But it's, I don't know. I'm waxing and waning on what I want the shapes up. But I like this because it's just like a big scarf. Mm-hmm. But there is a fingering version of Free Your Fade. So I was thinking of using the new Black Cat Fibers I got. And then I have a skein of Rock and String that has kind of that red with a blue. Mm-hmm. And then I have a skein of Spun Right Round. That's the gray, the red, the blue, and like one or two other colors. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be pretty. Mm-hmm. I'll have to pull the other two out and see if they would go. So that's all I really, really have. Because, I mean, I've got 3 or 4 hats on the needles. And those 2 shawls. And I don't know, I just haven't knit a whole lot lately. So I don't need to be starting
stuff.
I'm
in a very, kind of zen place with them. It's like I've found a balance currently, and it's working for me. So we've got this long weekend, and I had brought both sets of my interchangeables to work in case I finished one of the dishcloths and wanted to knit one. And I made sure I brought them home just in case I got the urge to cast something on over the long weekend. And so, no, I'm happy with what I'm doing right now. We'll see how that goes. So we're going to move into acquisitions. And for mine, for sure, keep in mind that this encompasses
6 weeks worth.
Yeah, this encompasses Black Friday sales or the Thanksgiving weekend, plus a couple of things that I bought myself for Christmas and a couple of impulse buys. But, yeah.
We should talk about our bags, too.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, that's on my list. Do you want to go, or do you want me to go?
I can go.
Okay.
I'm not going to talk about everything I've bought since Black Friday, because we'd be here forever, and it's been recorded in my stash and put away, so, or at least stashed in a corner. So, the couple of things that I recently got, like I said, Ms. Babs usually has a sale starting Christmas Day, of 20 or 25% off. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, her yarns are really reasonably priced anyway, mm-hmm. but then to get, you know, and I think I've bought yarn at least the last 2 years on Christmas Day or the day after Christmas, so I knew I was there. So I've never tried her DK. Usually I have a ton of Yowza, and then I have like a gradient set of fingering, but I've not used it. But I'm on this, let's make all the fade type stuff in garter stitch. You know, I've made 2 griers, I've made a freer fade, I've got yarn for like 2 more. So I picked out 4 skeins. And it's so hard, and especially, I mean, I've never seen Miss Babs in person. So you have to kind of rely on what's on the website, mm-hmm. but that's not always necessarily what you're going to get because it's hand dyed.
Right.
So you know, she takes pictures of 2 or 3, but it may be a lot of 100 and you get something that's totally different. Cause I've had that battle with some of the Yowza of, I really, you know, I'm trying to find the perfect skein of shaken, not stirred. And I either get one that's too much green or too much white.
Have you tried? I've heard that you can, like, you can tell her.
I did one time, and I still wasn't super.
Yeah.
I was okay, but.
It's just one of those, unless you see it in person. Right. You'll know what you
got. I wouldn't have picked the one skein because it was really bright green. Anyway, so this is, how would you say this?
Kawea, probably.
Kawea DK, which is the DK yarn, super wash, 280 yards. So that's a good weight. And I wonder if these run heavy like the Yowzas do.
Oh, maybe.
So, I picked a solid gray.
Kind of like a charcoal.
Yeah, lichen. Not even tonal or anything. It's just kind of a solid. And then, Azurite, which is gray purple, so it's kind of a variegated with purple and dark grays. And then a Exodus, which is mostly purple with some dark spots on it. And then there's a couple knots in them, that's why I had June Gloom, which is mostly gray with like the same shade of purple from Exodus.
But it's a lighter gray.
And on Instagram, she had posted a picture of these all lined up. Oh, and I'm like, oh, that's my yarn. So, I'm going to use all 4 of these, I think, or at least 3 of them for another for your fade. Because mm-hmm. I'm still working on the perfect purple scarf or shawl or whatever. So that's that. And then I got some Suburban Stitcher, which is in the other room. And then earlier this week, I was just poking around. We had seen Black Cat Fibers. They're from Milwaukee. We had seen them at Stitches this past year. And I had gotten 3 or 4 skeins of yarn from them, and I had just used that DK in my freer fade. And I was just looking, because I'm always thinking of, you know, making gradients and things in my head. And I got a couple skeins of DK called 40 Wax, 231 yards, superwash merino. So it's a medium to light gray. With, I don't know if I would call that a red or like dark pink, like a cranberry.
Yeah, it's more of a cranberry or raspberry, maybe.
Which I even like better, because I'm not opposed to red, But it's going to be the right red, like a cranberry or a wine. So I got two skeins of that because I can always make a hat or mitts or something like that. And then I got a fingering skein of that as well. So, like I said, I'm going to combine that with a couple things I have in my stash that might work for a fingering version of a free or fade or something gradient like. So, that's that. And then to segue for summer, Maria from Ninja Chickens and Ashley from Twist Fiber Studio have collaborated to make bags. Maria does the natural dyeing. So she took fabric and used flowers and leaves and things like that to naturally eco-print these fabrics. And then Ashley made really nice heavy-duty bags. Summer and I each got a bag. I got the one that just zips at the top, so it's like a big sweater bag. So it's got really heavy hardware on it. Stands up. Mine has a brown bottom.
Is yours, is the bottom canvas or is it? Yeah, it's canvas. Yeah. So the same.
Yeah. So they did these right before Christmas, maybe?
Yeah, I got mine. It was mid-December.
Yeah, they had split the lot, so Maria sold part of them, and Ashley sold part of them.
Yeah, because we had talked about it. You had gotten yours, and I had seen that. I knew that Maria was posting them, but didn't realize that Ashley was posting them.
Right, because I had looked for the tote bags, too, and I'm like... Yeah.
And Maria sold out like that, and I was sitting in a meeting. Actually, I wasn't in a meeting, but I was waiting for a meeting. And just, I don't know, I must have been on Instagram or something. No, I was just looking through. It was, you know, it's close to Christmas. I'm kind of just looking through my Etsy stuff and happened to click on Ashley's shop and saw them in there. And I'm like, ooh, I'm going to get one. So mine, actually, it's very similar to Katie's, like the colors of the fabric itself. Hers has some blue in it that I don't, mine doesn't have, but it's got the same kind of.
Yeah.
It's a yellowish theme, and then my bottom is like a lime green, or
apple green.
Yeah, like an apple or pear green.
Yeah, pear is better.
Yeah, and it is a tote bag instead of a zipper. I wasn't sure how I was going to use it until I came over here and determined that this is the perfect size for a Fiber Festival, like for your market bag, because I was able to fit all of my acquisitions into this bag, and it was more than I would typically buy at a Fiber Festival. So
unless you're getting fiber.
Right. Yeah. But I do have fiber in here, so it's a really nice bag. I hope they continue to make them.
Because I had gotten a smaller project bag, and I think I had gotten that from Maria, but they're working in collaboration, so definitely follow them on Instagram. They're well made and very lovely.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention the handles on this tote are leather. So yeah. it's just very well made.
I just wish I would have gotten that if it had snapped or something like that. That's my only thing is I'm afraid of stuff dumping out if
that
I was.
That would be really easy to like.
At least put a toggle or a snap or something.
You could do something like a. I'm sure that there's. You could add a little magnet closure or something like that pretty easily. Okay, so let's get started with mine. So the first one was the final color of the Madeline Tosh Willy Wonka colors from Eat Sleep Knit. There was a shortage of vintage near the end of the year. I don't remember why. I think Madeline Tosh's supplier, whatever reason, there was a shortage on vintage. So this is Tosh DK. Vintage and Tosh DK are really pretty close in weight. It actually came up, someone on their Facebook page had said that they were making a blanket, something similar to what I was doing, and had asked for recommendations on a different base because they were using vintage. And I posted that I had substituted Tosh DK with no problems, and they actually commented on that and said, yeah, that's what we would suggest. That's the closest. So this is Tosh DK, and this is the Veruca Salt colorway, and is a very deep red. And if for me, if you've used Tarte before, I think it's actually very, very similar. It might be a little more on the brighter red side. Tarte is a really deep, but there are definitely some tones of that in here. Needless to say, this is not going into my blanket because Madeline Tosh reds bleed terribly. So, not besides the fact that it doesn't mesh with the color scheme for the most part, this will be, I don't know what it'll be, probably hat or mitts or something like that, but it's pretty. It's really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the blanket, I didn't mention in my works in progress because it's been ongoing, but I am actually on the last color that I'm putting in there, so that should be done relatively soon. And it's not going to be very big. I mean, it's basically going to be lapgan size, a small lapgan. It'll be like baby blanket size. But
you can always get some neutrals to add to it or something.
Yeah, I could if I wanted or something. But I probably won't. I think I was thinking about bringing it up to work because number one, the cats
never know what the weather's.
You never know what the weather's going to be like inside the building. It can get pretty chilly. It's for the most part been fairly stable. We've had some cold days, but nothing as bad as it was a few years ago.
Yeah.
But also my cats really, or at least one of the cats, really, really loves this yarn. And I have a feeling it would get chewed up if I left it out where they could get to it. So it's probably safer at work. So that's one. And then my...
can use it to decorate your big cube now.
Yes.
Your wall is bigger.
I could do that. They built my cubicle. All of our suite for the most part has like the half walls, so it's very much of an open layout. But my cubicle is on the very end, and there's an elevator right by my desk. And they also moved one of the coffee pots right by my desk. And we had a staff development day, and one of the things that I brought up was distractions, and mentioned that was, you know, I'm also right on this other side from the help desk, and so it's really hard to tune things out. So they actually built it up for me, which was, it was really, I had mentioned it to my supervisor, wasn't expecting much to come of it, and our director came up, or our division director came up to me. He was like, oh, by the way, they're doing this. I'm like,
well, it's amazing that they can do stuff like that, and then other times it's like pulling teeth to get...
Well, my predecessor had asked for this very specifically, and they wouldn't do it for her. And there's personalities at play there on both sides of that, because...
No, but yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, I've got that. But yes, that is not a bad idea.
You can always just take it off when you're cold.
Yeah. Maybe, temporary solution. I bought three things for over the Black Friday weekend. Are they all fiber? Yes, all of them were fiber. First one was, Hobblebehoy, and I don't remember if she had I think she was having a sale, which is how I ended up, or why I ended up buying it. I don't remember. I just wanted it. These are little batlings. It's organic Polworth bamboo silk and sparkle. 2 ounces, and I actually bought two so that I could have a significant skein. The colorway is Gingerbread House. I had talked the last time. Actually, one of the things I had finished, I didn't bring them. There were two things I had finished. One was the Gingerbread House socks by Jinx Yarn. I didn't bring them because they've been worn several times. And then another, I had also made another hat. But anyway. Back to this. When I made the Gingerbread House Jinx yarn, I was like, colors don't really remind me of a Gingerbread House. So I thought I'd try again. And these aren't really either. But at least there's a lot of brown and then like turquoise. That's not really turquoise. I don't know what color that is. Teal. It's a teal and then some bright pink and some orange. It'll be
fun. It's a very muted teal. It's not a very bright.
Yeah.
It's not very much of it either.
Yeah. So those will be fun. And then Elemental Fiberworks had a mystery. You mystery sale where you like you told her what science, like which what do you call it? Op division subject, science subject you wanted, and then she would send you a bat. Or I mean a braid of fiber. And I chose astronomy because I had really liked the ones that I had gotten in the other club. And this is the Bubbly Nebula, and it's again kind of a tealy blue with gray.
That'll be pretty.
Yeah, that will be pretty. And it's Polaris Silk. And then the last one that I got was Rock and String.
She still and has stuff on sale.
Oh,
I meant to tell you that, but I'm like, I don't want to enable.
I know, I'm trying to be good, but my birthday's coming up. She had a mystery, a really good mystery, like grab bag sale. It was, I double checked before I ordered because the price, it was like $10 each. And it was like full 4 ounces. So really, really good. But you had no idea what I would get. And this was alpaca and merino. And it doesn't have a colorway, but it's got kind of a taupey brown and a, like a, not quite corally, what's that? Terracotta, yeah. Kind of, and turquoise. And I really enjoyed spinning the alpaca that I have spun before. I think it was alpaca silk and not alpaca merino, but this will be really nice to spin.
So you like the colors? Friday. Do you like these colors?
Yeah.
I mean, I know you like browns.
Yeah. I'll be really interested to see what it looks like spun up. And it's actually, these are, it's braided together and I don't have it. I think each, I have no idea how it is, but it is, it's almost pencil roving. It's maybe a little thicker, but I probably have to do very little prep for spinning that. Okay, and then, get back down here, make sure I don't forget anything. For Christmas, my husband gave me a gift certificate for Etsy, and I spent it very wisely. I wanted fiber, and I wanted something that I wouldn't just normally get, and this actually worked out to exactly the price of the gift card, which was, it was meant to be. So the first one is Greenwood Fiber Works in... It's a camel silk roving, and it's in the rosewood colorway, so it's a brown, basically a pinky brown,
yeah,
tonal, and it is so soft.
Ooh.
It is so soft.
And you can tell there's silk in that, the shine.
Yeah, this is going to be amazing to spin. It'll be different. I've never spun anything like this.
Oh, it's 50-50. Yeah.
I need to put it in a bag, I think, because it's dark. I can already see it's kind of fuzzing up a little bit. And then the other one I bought is Yak Silk, and this was from Blue Barn Fiber. And my husband looked at it and said it looked like Trump's hair. I'm going to try not to think about that when I spin. It does kind of look like hair. I guess yak is more hair-like. But this, just feel that. So
is it 100% yak or is
it's yak silk, so
yak and
it doesn't say if it's 50-50, but I'm gonna bet. I don't know. This one again, I feel like this is probably gonna be a little bit of a challenge to spin. It's very, very slippery, but it's so soft. It's like one of the softest things I've ever felt. And then last thing, a couple of weeks ago, this was maybe right after Christmas, Ashley from Twist Fiber Studio had a spend $50, get 50% off your order. So it was basically a buy one, get one free as long as you, as the total added up before the sale added up to 50. So for $25, I got two skeins of her DK. One of them is Gypsy Heart, and this is in her Nantahala DK. And this is just gorgeous. It's turquoise and greens and teals and yellows and pinks and purples and
nope. Where's pink at? It's a pink in there.
Like right here. It's more purpley. It's purple.
That's the gray. That's brown.
Yeah. Well, okay. More purple than pink, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's pink in here somewhere. And then the other one is Chameleon in her Cumberland DK.
Yeah, that was the base I used. Yeah. That was in that. The Chameleon.
And both of these, I had favorited the colorway on Etsy.
I like this one.
And I could not resist.
It's a really good deal.
It was a really good deal, and pretty much everything. It said on exclusive items, but it seemed like everything in her shop was eligible. And
she's trying to it's the end of the year. They don't want to count it all or have to claim it for taxes. Yeah. So,
while you were talking, I'm like, this. If I just bought one more skein of something, this would make a really nice fade.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what color you would put, a green a gray.
Yeah. Maybe the yellow almost.
That's a lot of bright, though.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe not, but it definitely would make a good two color or something. And that was not by design, but...
The green's a little too... I mean, I like the green, but that, to me, it's a little too bright for something to wear. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I
would use it for stripes or something, but I love green, but to me, it's just a little bright for me.
It's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
That's really awesome.
But I like that other one, though. That's
the Gypsy Heart is just absolutely gorgeous. This is one of those, like, when I first got it, and I open it, and I'm like, oh, it's not quite as pretty. And then I, like, just started turning it. I'm like, no, this is, like, just absolutely outstanding.
Yeah.
I'm surrounded by mountains of fibers. She's
going to have the table full of yarns.
So that is actually, that's all. And that was, like I said, that was over almost, 6 weeks or so of it. And then
it was on sale, too. Yep. So
it was not just a ridiculous amount of money spent. Almost all of it was on sale or gift card. But actually, I think all of it was, except for the bag and the fiber that I bought. And those actually might have been on sale too. But reading and watching. Do you want to go? I'll kind of pack some stuff up while you talk.
Honestly, haven't read that much in the last 6 weeks either. Or if I have, it's not really worth talking about. I think when we recorded, I had just started or was getting ready to read Daughter of the Pirate King by Trisha Levenseller. This was a book I was really excited to read and was kind of disappointed about. I'm horrible. I'll read a book and I forget it a day later. So unless it was
really
something that really, really stuck with me. RA would not, or Reader's Advisory is not my strong suit.
Mine either. I know people who absolutely love Reader's Advisory. I hate it because I can never remember anything that I've read.
Well, I can tell you if I liked it or not,
right.
But I can't, intimate detail plot points.
Yeah.
No.
That's one of the reasons I quit book blogging, because I had a book blog for a while. And just reviews, I was not very good at them. Every once in a while, though, I'll go back and I'm like, I wrote that? That's pretty good. But it was a struggle.
Well, and since we don't really do staff summer reading anymore, I don't have that incentive to at least write the reviews during the summer. Okay. Anyway, it's a YA book about a girl who gets captured. Her father is the Pirate King, and she's trying to find a map or something. And so the story started off really good, and then like halfway through, a secret's revealed, which is kind of stupid. I don't know. I think I gave it 2 or 3 stars. It was a little cheesy. I read Thief's Cunning, which is the second book in some assassin series by Sarah Ayers. The first book was Assassin's Heart, I think. This is the story of one of the nieces who, they're called Clippers. They're people who follow a certain religion who basically assassinate people. So they're paid to assassinate people who kind of deserve it. And this had a weird turn and got really kind of fantasy. I didn't like it as much as I liked the first book. Like I said, my reading mojo's kind of gone too. I do have Everless on hold or ready to read. That's a YA book. Not 100% sure what it's about without looking at the review. And then I had We Were the Lucky Ones, which is World War II fiction by Georgia Hunter. I have both of those checked out right now. I enjoy World War II stuff. So those are the two I'm going to read next. And that's really... what I've got right now.
I'm very much the same way. Like we were saying, I'm terrible. So these are maybe thumbs up, thumbs down type reviews. But last time we recorded, I was reading Gifts by Ursula K. Le Guin, and I was not very far into it, and I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about it. I think I would give it a thumbs up. I definitely know it got better. It was not a fast paced book. But I cared about the characters at the end, so it was very well written, and there was a lot of heart in it. I would definitely recommend it. It was a YA, but definitely some crossover to adult. I mean, there's no reason an adult wouldn't like it. But that finished that one. Then I read The Invention of Hugo Cabret by Brian Selznick, which has been out forever. My son actually read this. My son is not a reader. And there are only a handful of books that I can tell you that he has read and finished and talked about and really liked. And he read this one. He was in elementary school. I'm going to guess probably he was maybe 9 or 10 at the oldest when he read it. And he read it multiple times, at least twice. And it's a big chunkster of a book, but it's a fairly large print and a lot of pictures. It's almost like a combination of a novel and a graphic novel. And the pictures, they're like pencil drawings, and they're very intricate, and it's really, really pretty. I actually read it on Kindle because I couldn't find our copy. I suspect Eli had it, and it's probably in his room somewhere, but he didn't know where it was. But I finally read that. I watched the movie. The movie is just called Hugo. It came out a few years ago. It was also really good. It's set in a train station in Paris. The main character is Hugo Cabret, and his uncle, I believe, was the clock keeper in the train station. And something had happened to his uncle, probably had died. And he took over. He didn't want anyone to find out that the uncle was not there, because they would send him away or, you know, do something with him, and he wanted to stay where he was. So he was keeping up the clocks, and there's an automaton that his father had rescued from a fire at, I think, a museum, and he was trying to fix it, and he was stealing parts from a toy maker in the station and got caught. And there's old movie stuff about it. It's a really good book and a really good movie. So I would definitely recommend both. And if you have young ones who are, especially if they are reluctant readers, this is one I would definitely recommend. That is one reader's advisory that I can do. That one I can do. Then I read The Peculiar Miracles of Antoinette Martin by Stephanie Knipper, Knipper. This was released in 2017, I believe, and I'm sure it was on one of the best of lists or something. I don't know how I found it. It is about a little girl. It's set in West Virginia, and there's a little girl who basically, she has special powers. She was born premature. Her mother went into labor early, and her mother had heart problems, and so it turns out that she's got healing powers, but they aren't very well understood, and the mother tries to hide them because she doesn't want her daughter to feel like to be exploited. So there's that, and then there's the overtone relationship between the mother and her sister. The sister is really the main character, And she comes back to help with her sister, who is dying of this heart condition. And they had been estranged. And there's a romance between her and her neighbor, who she had dated in high school. And they, you know, had drifted apart and that kind of thing. That one, it was a little odd, but it was really good. It was definitely, again, the characters were well developed. And there was a lot of heart in it. And then most recently, I finished Eliza Hamilton by Susan Holloway Scott. It's a fictionalized biography of Eliza Hamilton, who was Alexander Hamilton's wife. It really, that's how it's marketed. It's really a biography of Alexander Hamilton told from the perspective of his wife. More, I mean, there definitely is stuff about his wife, but it's, you know, you learn a lot about Alexander Hamilton. And it was a good book. It just took me forever to read. I was not a quick read. I struggled to finish it. I actually had to renew my ebook in order, luckily I could, in order to get it finished. That one was also released in 2017, so it's a fairly recent one. I would recommend it if you like historical fiction, and especially if you are interested in Hamilton, as half the world, or half of America anyway, seems to be these days. And I am currently reading High Country by Nevada Barr, which is number 12 in the Anna Pigeon series. The last one I read, which I can't remember the name of right now, but it was, I must have finished it before we recorded last time, right before I recorded last time. It took me a long time to get through that one, and I found it a little more boring than some of the other ones. This one is, the pace is better, and I'm enjoying it. It's set in Yosemite, and Anna Pigeon is actually undercover, and I would say probably not very good at it, but I'm enjoying it. I'm almost halfway through with it, and I started it late in the week, so that one's definitely going faster. We've been watching a lot of movies. My daughter has become quite a filmophile. I don't know if that's the right word, but she's really, really gotten into movies. And we gave her for her birthday a 1001 movies to see before you die. It's a big honking book. And I think between that, and she's kind of like me, and like, she likes to work through lists. And so she's found some other lists that she's, you know, trying to work her way through. So she's been watching a lot of really old movies, like silent movies. She watched Birth of a Nation because it was on the list. And she's watched, some Charlie Chaplin, and some of them, you know, she and Jimmy have been watching a lot of them together. A lot of them, they're like, you know, he was off more than I was over the holidays. And so they watched a bunch, and sometimes they're watching them while I'm cooking. So she watched one of the Groucho Marx movies. But we watched together It Happened One Night, which has, Clark Gable, and I don't remember who the female lead is, if it was anybody that I knew. And it was so good. I think it's considered the first romantic comedy. And it was really, really good. Enjoyed it. I wasn't sure what to expect, but yeah, it was just like, it was a romantic comedy. It was great. We really enjoyed that. And then of course we saw Star Wars. I really liked it, and most of the people that I have heard really liked it.
Claudette Colbert. 1934.
Yeah, it was a really old one. But, so we saw Star Wars. My husband, son, and daughter saw it the night it came out, and I don't like to do that. I don't like the crowds. So we saw it. It was still pretty crowded, but we saw it the weekend after, like in the early morning. Not early. Pretty early, like 9:30. So I enjoyed that. We also saw Coco, which is a Disney movie set around Day of the Dead, and that was one of the best Disney movies I've seen. It's a little boy whose his family has banned music from their lives due to some behavior of their ancestors, and of course, the little boy wants to be a musician, and he ends up going into basically, like, not like the underworld, but kind of like, I don't know, it's like this place where there's a, like a crossover on Day of the Dead, and it was just really good. I really enjoyed it. The colors were amazing. The music was good. The story was just great. My husband was bawling at the end of it. He's like, I didn't expect the ugly cry. But, you know, it was really good. And then we went to see Lady Bird last weekend. My daughter insisted that she and I needed to go see it together. It's all about, I mean, the main theme of it is like this mother-daughter relationship. It's, theirs is a tumultuous relationship, not abusive, but just, they, you know, the mother-daughter relationship can be difficult, and this was maybe more, I mean, it's more difficult than I had with my mom or, you know, me and Laura have, but you can, you know, you definitely relate, and there wasn't, like, really a plot, but it was very well done, and, like, it's like the whole time, I just, I could just feel, like, tears, just, like, wanting to fall, but I wasn't anything specifically that was worth bawling over. At the very end, I like had one tear rolling down out of one eye. But it was really good. I suspect it, well, it may have already won Golden Globes. I don't care, but I mean, I don't care. I don't keep up with it, but I know it's, I don't know that nominations are, I know shortlist maybe is out for Oscars, but I wouldn't be surprised if it wins awards. It was good, worth seeing. And then the only other, we've been watching a lot of television. I can't even remember what all we've watched. We'll just pick up and, you know, watch this and that. But we watched the other night a food show called Somebody Feed Phil. I can't remember what Phil's name is. I think it may be Phil Rosenthal. He's Jewish. And there was a show that we watched maybe last year sometime called I'll Have What Phil's Having, I think. And he traveled all over the world and tried different foods, and it was just very delightful. And it was one of those series, you know, it was really sad when the number of episodes were over. And so we noticed that there was this new show on yesterday, I think, or not yesterday, a couple of days ago. And I think it's only 6 episodes, but it seems to be the same kind of thing, just with a different name. And we watched the first one, and he went to Thailand. He was in Bangkok, and the food just looked absolutely incredible. If you're a foodie, and this was on, I think it was on Netflix, I would recommend giving that one a shot. That is all I have. So I'm going to move into In the Kitchen, if you are still with me. thanks for sticking with us. I do have a couple more acquisitions that fall into the In the Kitchen, which is kind of a theme that we have. I think I'll finish. I'll come to this in a minute. Katie and I had talked about trying to have more, maybe themes or something to kind of pull the podcast together a little bit.
Spice it up, mix it up.
Yeah, something new. And one of the things that we had talked about doing was, you know, there's the Knit Life survey that a lot of people are doing, and I don't really want to dedicate a whole podcast to it, but what we had talked about is maybe doing a couple of questions per episode. We didn't think about it this time, so we're not going to do it, but look at that in the future. If you have other suggestions of things you would like us to talk about, feel free to jump over in the group and let us know. I would love to know. I'd like to know who's listening. I mean, we do this because we enjoy getting together and talking about our knitting. And, you know, we don't have, like, the most active group. We have a very inactive group, but that's okay. That's not really why we're doing it. It's more of an opportunity to get together and chat about this. But I would really like there to be more interaction. I'm never going to have time to, like, devote to really maintaining a super active group, but somebody said, I think it was Maria in Ninja Chickens on her podcast recently, that one of the things that does make it fun is knowing that there are people that are listening and having people, you know, if we ask a question, having people answer. And I agree, sometimes it is, you know, we'll ask a question and we won't get any responses or, you know, maybe right. a response or two. So this is not a complaint. I'm just saying if you're out there and you would like to, you know, well, to engage, we would really like,
and we haven't like had, to. Yeah, and we haven't had a consistent recording schedule because right. Darcy's not always able to join us. I worked every third weekend. That will change here in the next couple of weeks. So we'll probably, I don't know yeah. that I want to devote every other weekend.
But well, we had definitely talked about maybe establishing, you know, we'll record on the second weekend of the month or something right. like that, you know, that is more set in stone so that we do have a more predictable schedule.
Because I know some people care about that. Some people don't, but.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm one of these people, I prefer people. Podcasts that don't come out weekly because I don't have time to keep up with them.
Yeah.
So anyway, please feel free to chime in on the group. Please feel free to come over and introduce yourself if you haven't. Even if you have, let us know what's going on with you. I'm throwing all of this in now before I go into the kitchen just in case people are, you know, done. But right. now I'm going to move into the kitchen. So acquisitions. I bought a couple of cookbooks over, I bought one before the holidays and then I got one as a Christmas gift. One is Sally's Cookie Addiction. If you've listened for a while, you know that I've made a lot of my baking has come from Sally's baking addiction, either from the website or from her first cookbook. A lot of what I've done. Her recipes just tend to be very reliable. And when I saw that she had a cookie cookbook out, I bought that. Had adventures with USPS. I had one that was said it was delivered and it wasn't. And they kindly sent me a new one. For Christmas, some friends gave me a copy of Dory's Cookies, which is Dory Greenspan. I don't know. I know she's well known in the baking world, but she has several baking cookbooks. I don't know more about her than that. But I declared 2018 as the year of the cookie and am going to try to weekly bake something out of one of the two recipes. I've put them all into a spreadsheet.
You weren't really a cookie.
You've always been
cakes.
Yeah, I did cakes.
Because you didn't like the fuss with the individual.
And then suddenly I decided, no. You know what happened? So I work for a library consortium. We have to go visit our member libraries, you know, every once in a while, maybe once a year or so. And my boss, I have a new boss, who started in like end of July or early August. I can't even remember anymore.
Was it that quick?
I can't even remember when he started anymore. Maybe it was beginning of July. No.
August, September?
It was a longer than a month since Judith. Yeah, and it was late summer. Anyway, he started. And we had a day off. When the Astros won the Super Bowl. When the Astros won the World Series, there was a huge parade downtown, which was right outside the library. And for logistics purposes, they closed our library. And everybody who worked there had to go find some other place to work. And my boss took advantage of that day for us to go up to the Dallas area where one of our member libraries is. And we're walking through the library. You know, he had never seen it, and they were giving him a tour, and, like, we walked past a display, and there's this cookie book, and I, like, pick it up as we're walking, and I'm looking through it, and, of course, it's not my library, so I had to give it back. And I checked it out on Overdrive, like, on the ride home, and was, like, looking through it, and it was really good, and I had put it on my wish list, so friends gave it to me. And there's just, I don't know, I got the cookie bug. So I got that, and I've consistently, for 3 weeks, made recipes. I put them all into a spreadsheet because I didn't want to just work through one of them and I'll just like randomly pick one out of either one. So far, they've all come out of the Dory's cookies. Although, I didn't put these down on my list, but they were called strawberry and cream cookie cakes or something like that. I don't remember what they were called, but basically they're cookies that you do in a, like a muffin tin and then put buttercream icing on. And so we did those for Christmas sometime around there. And I think I might have cooked one other recipe out of it when I first bought the book. But the Dory's cookies, I have made three recipes. The first one I made was fudgy mocha bars, which were, she said that it started out as a blondie recipe, so it was not like super, super fudgy. It had, like, you know, it had obviously some cocoa, but it also had some coffee grounds, like really fine coffee grounds, and walnuts, I believe, and they were just so good. It called for a 9x9 pan, and all I had was 8x8, so they were a little thicker than the recipe called for, but they were delicious. They were absolutely heavenly. And then last week, I made double ginger molasses cookies, which were basically like gingerbread with cocoa in them and crystallized ginger. Gingerbread with cocoa and a little bit of coffee in that too, and a couple of gingers, a couple of types of ginger. And you actually bake those in a muffin cup too, but not, you don't fill it. It's basically just to keep the shape uniform. And those had a nice, like, kind of like a brownie consistency. And they were really dark and very molassesy. So if that's not your thing, then they were probably, you know, some people really like those types of cookies, some don't. I brought those to work, and they went away pretty quickly. My boss, who does not like sweets, has been asking me for the recipe consistently. He loved them. And then yesterday and this morning, I made the batter yesterday and actually cooked them. Today I made cocoa cayenne cookies, which are basically, according to the recipe, is kind of like a chocolate shortbread. But it's got a little bit of cayenne pepper in it and a little bit of sea salt on the top. And I actually brought, I brought a thing of them. I don't know if Katie wants to try one, but just in case, I brought one for her to try. And I've warned her, you know, they're not super sweet, but the texture is really nice. I'm going to be good. Supposedly, according to the recipe, they are really nice with red wine or port. So I look forward to trying some of that at home. But I thought they turned out much, much better than I anticipated. They're different. These are really more of a savory cookie. They were in the cocktail cookie section, which had a lot of...
Yeah, they're not sweet at all.
Yeah, they're just... It had like a third cup of confectioner's sugar and a couple of tablespoons of regular sugar. And I feel the need to warn people because you expect sweet. And if you're, it's like, I make these
very shortbready though.
Yeah, the texture is very shortbready. I make these cheese straws or cheese wafers that my mom made and passed on to me. They're a very southern dish that are basically cheddar cheese and with Rice Krispies in them with lots of butter. And the texture is very similar to those cookies. So
they're good.
What do you think?
Yeah, I would be afraid of them getting really dry in like 2 or 3 days if you didn't eat them.
Yeah, and I mean, the way...
Because like, they seem a little brittle almost.
They are a little brittle. I tucked about 8 away into a Ziploc to bring to Fred because I figure if he liked the other ones that weren't very sweet, he would really like these. So I brought some. But
you can taste the cayenne. Yeah. You don't get the cayenne until you're done with the cookie.
Right, yeah.
It's not too much.
Yeah. I had one, like... I kind of expected a denser cookie, and I bit into it, and I'm like, oh. I was like, that's not what I was expecting. It was really good. But then I had another one later, and they're definitely, I was worried about, like, binge eating them. It's like, it's not the kind of thing you're going to binge eat. It's just, I think it will be really nice with a glass of wine or something like that. But so far, all three recipes have turned out really well, and the instructions are just great. I mean, they've been really easy to follow, nothing complicated. These you did have to roll out. They're very small. They're like an inch and a half, And I'm supposed to have an inch and a half cookie cutter, but I don't have them. I need to buy, if I'm going to be doing a cookie experiment all right. year, I need more cookie cutters. But
I ended up taking, but yeah.
no, but I ended up taking the lid of the cayenne pepper and used that. Of course, I did it, and I'm like, oh, because I couldn't get the cookie out. So my husband, like, cut off the lid. It had, this is one of those, like, it has the flip top with the with the shaker. So he, like, popped the top off and then cut off the shaker part. So now there was a hole in it. It worked. It worked just fine, though. But, so that was my cookie experiments. You will, hopefully, there should be good content over the next year until I fizzle out, which is entirely possible. Or until the summer comes and I don't want to cook in the hot house. The other thing we inherited, some friends of ours, when we had the freeze a few weeks ago, they have a Meyer lemon tree and they needed to get rid of Meyer lemons. So they brought us 3 large plastic grocery bags full of Meyer lemons. And I borrowed a juicer, actually. Took a bag to some friends of ours and then borrowed a juicer from them. And so far, I need to do one more batch, but I've gotten about a gallon's worth of juice, and I've frozen it into ice cubes. And then I've also, I still have some more that I need to juice. I ran out of time before going back to work. And then, but I need to do them before they go bad. And with those, I'm going to juice those, and I'm probably going to make some limoncello. I don't know if you've been listening ever since Katie, Darcy, and I started recording together. Maybe our first episode, we had a Meyer lemon theme. If it wasn't the first one, it was the second one, because the same people had given us a bunch of lemons, and Darcy's husband had made limoncello, and I was considering doing it, and then I mentioned the Meyer lemons to my boss, and he was like, you know what? It makes really good limoncello, and there is a recipe that's really easy. So I think I'm gonna try that. And then I made some Meyer lemon chutney I have an Instant Pot Indian cookbook, and I made this recipe out of that, and it's really good. I just don't know what to do with it. Like, I tried it on some chicken, I tried it with like some cream cheese on crackers, and that was not bad. Then I tried it, like, I had cooked some chicken and some pork chops, and I tried to eat it with it, and it was okay, but it didn't quite mix very well. So I've still got quite a bit of it, and I think it's probably good for another week or so. I don't know what to do with the rest of it. And then the only other thing, for Christmas, for the past several years, we've done a prime rib roast either on Christmas or around Christmas, and we did that this year. And my dad had said, "Well, you know, if I had known you were going to do that last year, I think it was," he said, "I have a really good Yorkshire pudding recipe. I'm going to send you that." So I had him send it to me this year, and made that to go along with our roast, and it came out okay. I've never had a real Yorkshire pudding, so I don't know how accurate it was. It tasted good. I think if I were to do it again, this recipe had you do it in a big 9x13 pan. I've seen other recipes that have you do it in muffin cups, and I think I would do it that way just to see what the difference was. But I think
What's
I will make it
pure
again.
What's your pudding?
It's a savory pudding. You use... It's kind of like, it looks a lot like a popover, kind of, when you're done. I'm trying to think what it's, I've never had anything like it.
What's in it?
It's, if you think of like, kind of like a pancake batter, like that kind of like eggs and milk, and I don't remember what else. And then you put like the juices from like the roast,
okay,
or some other kind of oil, like down in the pot. And you pour the batter in it, so it's kind of a savory. Yeah, it kind of maybe souffle-ish.
British food at its finest.
Yeah. I'm not super familiar with British food, but you know, this is one of those standards you hear about.
Misleading in, yes. in British
Definitely
cuisine.
Not a pudding like we think of
it's
in
not
America.
Chocolate
it's
pudding.
Not chocolate pudding. It was savory. It was good. I liked it. Like I said, I'm not sure how close to like the real thing it was, because I had never made it before and I didn't have anything to compare it to. Yeah. But it was edible. Everybody liked it. So, okay. That is it. And honestly, it's just not as long as I thought it was going to be. We're less than 2 hours, so that's pretty good. I don't know. Like I said, we're going to try to get on a regular schedule, but I don't know when that will be established yet. We will definitely record again within the month, you know, probably early February. Like I said, come join us on Ravelry. Follow us on Instagram. Let us know what you'd like to talk about. Feel free to start a topic if you want to, whatever. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you
next time
in a month, a little less than a month, hopefully. Bye.